I'm DeMarcus Ware, and you're watching Broncos TV.
You know what type of team we are, so at the end of the day, we going into this game expecting to win, hoping that we can win a game, and we're going to do everything we can. Think we feel like we got a great team.
Man, I can't wait for all this. I'm just ready for the game, and I'm ready to get out there. You see a smile on my face, I can't wait to the game.
Come Sunday, we just got to show the world what we've been showing them the whole year. We're the best defense in the league, and let's put together our best game.
You know, you play this game for one reason, it's to win a championship at any level. So to have this opportunity to be at the Super Bowl again is great. It shows the level of commitment and focus that every guy on this team has had. And, you know, we're excited to get out there and play.
All this stuff's been awesome. It's been a lot of fun. But, yeah, we're here for a football game, to win a football game. And we're all ready to get back to work on this.
He's my oldest son right here, man. I'm proud of my son, man.
Yeah, right, man.
Super Bowl, man, at the podium. Come on, man. Give me a hug, man.
On Thursday, the Broncos held their final media session before Super Bowl Sunday.
Come on, man. Give me a hug, man.
Today, we'll show you which special member of the press went looking for pizza discounts.
First of all, can I get a 50% discount on Papa John's pizza when I'm in the state of Colorado?
Plus, we'll check in with our players that hold local ties to the Bay Area.
People from Sacramento, I'm from right down the street. It's been great.
The show is jam-packed as Broncos TV Live from Super Bowl 50 presented by Prime Sports starts right now.
That's beautiful right there.
Broncos TV Live from Super Bowl 50, presented by Prime Sport. I'm Phil Milani with Matt Boyer and Andrew Mason, and we're joining you poolside from the team hotel, just like Mace requested.
Yeah, I feel more relaxed already. You know, I mean, maybe I'll go do a cannonball in the pool sometime.
Exactly. Well, we're so used to seeing your Hawaiian shirts, so
Mace,
we thought we'd
shirt,
move it
man.
Out here.
I didn't bring one with me. I saw the weather forecast and saw a bunch of 58-degree days, and Went for a little more sedate look.
Yeah, right. Unlike yesterday, it's beautiful outside here today. And today was the final media availability session for the Broncos, and there was a special guest who showed up.
Well, it was funny because we all thought, okay, this is going to be Peyton Manning's last media session before the Super Bowl. And all of a sudden, there's a murmur in the crowd. There's a disruption. And all of a sudden, Snoop Dogg walks in and is standing right next to Peyton Manning. And it was really great to see Peyton give him a little fist pound before Peyton took the podium. And you knew Snoop was going to get the mic, and it was really funny to hear him ask, you know, his questions. We'll get to that in a second, but it was great to see kind of a lighter side in that last media session, because it could have been a very serious tone. It could have been all business, but I think it kind of broke the monotony of the moment, just because these guys have answered each of these questions 18 different ways all week, and so it was nice to kind of get a little change of pace.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, he was there for the Rich Eisen show, and when he walked in, the spotlight shifted away from the podium onto Snoop Dogg, or is it Snoop Lion now? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was funny because guys were calling him Snoop Lion, Snoop Dogg, getting the selfies at the table, so it was
selfies.
Cool.
Yeah, and then he also went to the Panthers media availability later, but he has a special connection with the Broncos, Mason.
Yeah, Ronnie Hillman can credit his football life in a lot of ways to Snoop Dogg, because Snoop financed the Pop Warner League, of which Ronnie Hillman was a part. And Ronnie credits that league with really kind of steering him on the right path, getting away from the trouble he was in and guiding him toward football and where he is today. And he said that Snoop was a very active coach and was a very active mentor for players in that league. So really cool to see Snoop giving back, and it's cool to see Ronnie and others take the lessons and apply them in their adulthood.
Yeah. Well, most definitely. I mean, in Long Beach area where Hillman grew up, those youth football leagues are so important to the kids there. Snoop, he's a Steelers fan on the record there, but his special connection made it cool that he was at Broncos of media availability today.
Peyton, Snoop Dogg from the Rich Eisen Show. First of all, can I get a 50% discount on Papa John's pizza when I'm in the state of Colorado?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Second question is, for this big game right here, is it fair to say that you're getting advice from Archie and Eli?
Well, Snoop, I've always enjoyed my conversations with my dad and Eli.
Peyton is my friend, man. And you see how we interacted?
He didn't give y'all none of that. He just talked to y'all like, yeah, whatever, all right, bye. He's like, so Snoop, yeah, you know, like, hey, he even called me by my name, man.
See, Snoop Dogg coming by here.
There you go. What up, baby?
You get
hard. Hey, yes, sir, I appreciate it, man. We got a Snoop.
I'm just messing with
y'all, Snoop, man.
I'm messing with you, dog.
Hey, that's my dude right there, though. Oh, that just touched me right there. That's love.
My mom, she actually told me to tell you how. She was like, I want to thank Snoop and all this other stuff.
Are you going
to
really take Peyton up on that discount for Papa
Doc? You think I ain't?
He said it in front of everybody, too. So a 50% discount when I walk in, off the top.
Is Snoop Dogg going to cash in on that Papa John's request, 50% off when he's in Colorado for the pizza? And it was really cool seeing him there. Then the Broncos went off to practice at Stanford, and there was another special guest there, Mace.
Yeah, David Shaw, the head coach of Stanford, came out to watch the Broncos practice. And it was really cool to see him out there. I talked with him as the Broncos were going through their paces. And, you know, there's a pretty profound connection, of course, between Stanford and the Broncos. John Elway most prominently, but also Ed McCaffrey played at Stanford 2.5 decades ago. And now his son, Christian McCaffrey, a Broncos fan, I might add, is the man of the moment at Stanford and is making that program great. And the other thing to consider, of course, is David Shaw comes from out of that 49ers. He's a branch of the Bill Walsh coaching tree, and Gary Kubiak and Mike Shanahan both are branches of that tree as well. So they share a common philosophical background in terms of football, and that's another reason that the connection between Stanford and the Broncos is so special.
Well, it was cool to see, like you said, Mace, you know, so many different eras of Stanford football represented today at practice. It was also cool to see Coach Kubiak today saying, you know, the game plan has already been installed. This practice, you saw them in helmets, you saw them in shells, but it wasn't, you know, a very intense practice because, like Coach said, they got most of their work done last week. This is just a polish week, and for these guys, there really isn't a need to go ahead and get a really intense practice in because this team is so battle-tested. They have played in so many big games, 11 wins by less than a touchdown or less, I should say. And I think that that has really helped these guys. And these guys know that those moments have prepared them to get to this point.
We've been underdogs all season. A lot of games. People don't like how we win. We win the ugly way. And I think people are not appealing. It's not appealing to people. They like seeing blowouts. We haven't blew out anybody, so they don't like the ugly wins.
We've been in this situation before throughout the course of the season. We have great respect for their football team and what they're capable of doing and how they got here. But we also have a lot of confidence in our football team, too. So we'll stay focused on ourselves, stay in the moment, and continue to get ready to play. We're looking forward to it.
I mean, at the end of the day, like I said, we'd have been expected to win, and we'd have lost, and we'd have been the underdogs, and we'd have won. So, at the end of the day, we embrace it, and we know what type of team we are. So, at the end of the day, we going into this game expecting to win, hoping that we can win the game, and we're gonna do everything we can. Then we feel like we got a great team, and we know they got a great team as well. They ain't lost one game, and we've been testing a lot of battles, and we know that. So, they expected to win. A lot of people might be expecting us to lose, but at the end of the day, we know what type of team we are. So we confident in our team, and that's all that matters. We're not really worried about Vegas or any of the media as well.
The type of team it's that sometimes, when we need it, we'll make things happen. Whether it be a 2-minute drive, marching down the field, or one of the backs breaking out a big run, and we've been under a ton of pressure the entire season, late in games, having to come back or having to secure the win with a late drive. So yeah, like you said, we're battle tested and we're built for this.
I think we trained to go, man. That right there just prepared us for this moment. So if that was the case on Sunday, you know, I think we're gonna embrace it and just make our plays and do what we have to do for the win.
You know, we're a very confident team, and we're confident we can take the game where it would go in the game wherever it needs to go. And, you know, we've got 3 overtime victories, things like that, that really form strong confidence in our team of what we can do together. And we're looking to win one more together on Sunday.
We couldn't stop Aaron Rodgers. We couldn't stop Tom Brady. We couldn't beat Ben Roethlisberger. But somehow we're in the Super Bowl.
There really have not been a shortage of great moments in this season. You think about DeMarcus Ware, his fumble recovery against Cincinnati, overtime win, C.J. Anderson into the end zone against New England. And, Phil, how do you feel like these moments have kind of prepared the Broncos for this big game?
Well, I think the one thing that we know is that in Super Bowls, the momentum swings are key. One team creates a turnover. One team scores a big touchdown. The momentum swing can shift completely. And I think the Broncos won't panic if that situation arises. Think about late in that Cleveland game in overtime. There's a turnover. The defense comes out there, handles their business. Broncos end up winning that game. They're down 14 points to the Patriots. There's no panic. The defense is calm out there, collected. And I think that really could give the Broncos an edge in this game, considering that the Panthers have not been in that situation too much, especially of late.
Yeah,
that's – I mean, you look at their season, only one loss to the Falcons back in Week 16, and then, you know, most of their wins have been comfortable wins. And you look at the last – at the last two games in the playoffs, they've you know, they've been ahead 31-0 and 24-7 at halftime, something we'll get into a little bit later on in the show. And, you know, they don't have the same, you know, legacy in close games, as it were, as the Broncos have.
They're not going to give up a ton of points to let a team come back. I mean, the Seahawks almost did, but that Panthers secondary is really tough, especially when the Broncos, if they're down, are forced to throw.
Yeah, it's tough. You start with Josh Norman, obviously, but, you know, Kurt Coleman at safety has had a tremendous season. Eight interceptions in the last 10 games, two interceptions against the Cardinals. Does a great job, as something we've talked about on this show, does a great job of really forcing the opposing quarterback to throw where he wants to. He does a good, you know, he'll act like he's going one, going to cover the tight end short, then he'll double on the receiver going deep, and he'll be in position to make the play. Now, some of it's being in the right place at the right time, but some of it is also what Kurt Coleman is doing. Tremendous, and he and Josh Norman really anchor that secondary.
It's funny because the matchup between both secondaries, the Broncos have a great secondary, the Panthers also have a great secondary, but you talk to the Broncos guys like T.J. Ward, Bradley Roby, and you ask them, hey, what do you think of Kurt Coleman? What do you think of Josh Norman? And they're like, hey, good players, but we're really good too. I mean, we've shown all season long that we can get it done. And I think, I don't want to say they think they are disrespected in any way, but I feel like they believe they're flying a little bit under the radar.
Yeah, the secondaries in this game are top-notch on both sides of the ball. Of course, the Panthers led by Josh Norman, and the Broncos offense has a ton of respect for that side of the ball.
It's a very active secondary. They do a lot of different things, play a lot of different coverages. All of them, you know, blitz. All of them are part of the blitz packages as well. They play man-to-man well, play zone well. You can tell they're well coached. You can tell they communicate very well. You see them talking out there, and all those things are very evident on the game film.
He's made great plays all season. He's been an anchor for the secondary all year, and you got to have a DB like that.
Look, I don't care who I'm facing. It's never about them. It's all about me staying true to my technique. Before a game, I show up an hour and a half before the game, and I'm working my technique, and I'm just trying to stay focused on me. I don't concern myself with who I'm facing.
I really don't know who I'll be going up with because, you know, Emmanuel is capable to attract the number ones as well. So if I do go up against him, you know, it's going to be a great matchup. He's a great player. He's been playing great this year, you know. Quarterbacks haven't been thrown his way, so, you know, I look forward to it.
Well, we have to operate against our defense. You know, I don't think we ever look at situations where it's all about one player. I mean, they're a great football team. They're a great defensive football team. They, you know, they'll pressure you. They'll play a lot of quarters. They'll do a lot of things. But the bottom line is they're good across the board. I mean, their front's very physical. We'll have our hands full. We're a young team up front. They're three linebackers. They're three first-round draft choices, and obviously led by Luke, and then, you know, Norman leads it back in. So I don't think it's about us and one player. It's about us trying to run our offense, do it efficiently. We've been protecting the ball well throughout the course of the playoffs, so that's something that we weren't doing well throughout the course of the season. So not about one guy. We're going to have to play good as a group.
So clearly Josh Norman is the leader of that group. But unlike the Broncos, who have two top-notch secondaries, the Panthers – there could be some creases in there, some openings with Josh Norman just on one side.
Two, I'd say three, because I'd include Bradley Roby in there, even though he doesn't have the
three
Pro Bowl recognition. Mm-hmm. Whereas with the Panthers, injuries have really taken their toll on the secondary. Peanut Tillman, he's not going to play. Ben Wickery, he's not going to play. And that leaves them with Robert McClain and Cortland Finnegan. And they have been susceptible to allowing big plays since they've been in there. And look, you've only got one Josh Norman. He can't cover both Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. So I think if you're Peyton Manning, you're looking at where Josh Norman is and saying, okay, maybe I'm not going to go there that often, and looking for Finnegan or McClain on Sanders, Cody Latimer, Andre Caldwell, Jordan Norwood, Benny Fowler, whoever, and saying that's where I'm going to go. Those are some mismatches that I think I can exploit.
We've talked about every angle to this game, but Matt, Peyton Manning, we know how much he studies. When he looks at this defense, how much of a factor is it going to be that they've had an extra week to prepare for this Panthers team?
I think it's going to be huge because Peyton Manning, as we've said many times this year, is probably the most prepared quarterback in the NFL. And watching the tape of the last couple of weeks, quarterbacks haven't really audibled much, haven't really gotten a good sense of what's going on at the line of scrimmage. Carson Palmer last week had just a terrible time, or 2 weeks ago, I should say, had a terrible time just trying to figure out what was going on as far as the disguised looks that the Panthers were throwing at him. So I think Manning is going to be able to kind of see those things, pick them out, and hopefully be able to change the plays at the line in order to put the Broncos in good position.
Yeah, especially helpful because the Broncos don't really play the Panthers all that often. Okay, well, we're just getting started here on Broncos TV Live from Super Bowl 50. When we come back, Mace will take a deeper dive into the numbers. Plus, we'll check out what Sam Boyk has been doing today. She won't be joining us on set. That's because she's on a boat. That plus more when we come back on Broncos TV Live from Super Bowl 50.